In the wake of the deadly shooting on UNC Charlotte's campus last month, people did what they often do, create memorials for those lost to the violence. Candles, flowers, handwritten letters, and posters with the names of the victims packed the steps leading up to the Kennedy Building outside where the shooting occurred. But as stormy weather threatened to destroy the objects, the university had to act quickly to preserve these remembrances. WFAE's Sarah D'Elia met with those charged with honoring this history.
It's a quiet day on campus at UNC Charlotte, which is not unusual for this time of year. Classes are done, graduates have walked, but it's a different type of quiet in front of the Kennedy Building.
It's still just hard to believe it happened here, and to a place that should be safe and welcoming and is the home for our students. And then when the memorial was up, to just see that outpouring of love, that shared grief that the whole community had, was really powerful.
Katie Howell, an archivist at UNC Charlotte, stands in front of the stairs leading up to the building where two students were shot and killed and four others were injured on April 30th when a gunman opened fire during the last day of classes.
You can still just see where the candles all were, the singe marks and the wax drippings.
Howell points to the wax clinging to the edges of the stairs, frozen from the moment the candles dripped over. There are flowers on the steps, some that still have color to them, others that have dried from the weather. A colorful painted mannequin head wearing a crown of flowers with a peace sign symbol looks like it was recently placed at the site. Don Schmitz, the associate dean for special collections and university archives, says they've tried to be sensitive when removing objects. The school even placed signs to let students know that objects are periodically being collected for archival purposes.
Our practice hasn't been to try to get it immediately because people put it there for a reason. You know, our concern has mostly been about rain and not wanting especially paper items to be damaged.
For many reasons, it's impossible to forget the violence that occurred less than a month ago. One of those reasons is that people are still placing objects on the steps of the Kennedy Building.
The items went up these first four steps and all the way across. And then you can see that people have written messages on the bricks in front of Kennedy Building. Gone but not forgotten, forever in our hearts. So I've been talking with facilities how we might be able to save these bricks, if there's a way we can get them out of the paving and preserve them in the archives in some way.
Howell's job isn't to dismantle memorials like this. It's her job to protect them. But in order to do that, items have to be removed. And where they go from the Kennedy Building is next door to the lower level of the Atkins Library. Three large tables pushed together form a U shape in the center of the room. The tables are covered by items recovered from the stairs of the Kennedy Building, as well as from the Norm Niner statue on campus. Howell holds a stack of handmade cards from a group of elementary school students.
These are sweet. I'm sorry that you were scared, and I'm sorry what happened last night. A little drawing of children in a home and hearts. I love you, and you are good. We are good.
Out of all the objects Howell has to handle, it's these letters that are hardest to read.
And it hurts me to think that these young people have to even imagine a scenario like this. And that's really touching, but it's emotional to think about.
She says during commencement weekend, the families of Ellis Reed Parlier and Riley Howell were invited to look through items and keep what they wanted.
Some of the painted stones, there were some stuffed animals that I think brought a lot of comfort. There was some artwork that had been done, and then any kind of letters that were specifically addressed to either Riley or to Reed.
Howell says it feels a little strange to be placing such new objects into acid-free boxes to protect them. And because this is all new territory, UNCC wants to connect with other schools who have experienced deadly shootings, like Virginia Tech, as well as professional organizations.
The Society of American Archivists is developing a tragedy response toolkit for archivists who are in this same situation, unfortunately.
Howell says anyone will be able to request to view the objects, the anonymous poems left, sheet music placed at one of the memorial sites that was played during a vigil, hand-painted stones with Riley and Reed's names. Howell says people who left some of the items may want to see their final home, or alumni, or even researchers. We don't ask why they want to see them, she says. We make them available. And as important as it is to preserve these objects for the future and document this moment in the university's history, it can be draining.
Yeah, I don't think it's really hit me totally. We've been working on these efforts since the very following day, since May 1st, and I think it will sink in and take its toll. And just, we're trying to care for each other here in this department, knowing that our work is emotional and we are very close to these items and we'll be working with them for a long time.
Part of what's so difficult about processing these objects is that the library itself is still recovering. Because of its close proximity to Kennedy, Don Schmitz, the Associate Dean for Special Collections and University Archives, says police thought it was possible the gunman was in the library. Katie Howell wasn't on campus during the shooting, but when she returned to work the next day, there was evidence all around on the main floor of the library of the fear students must have felt.
The most upsetting was to see the things the students had left behind in running in fear. You know, they'd left laptops and cell phones and food and everything, really. And so gathering those things up and helping students find them again the next day was harder work than I'd imagined.
Doors were also broken as police cleared rooms. At the time of this interview, some of those doors had yet to be repaired, including one that opens to a room of archival stacks, which is where items ultimately go to rest until someone asks to view them. Dawn Schmidt says when she returned to campus the day after the shooting, she went into security mode.
Because all of the doors were sort of, the locks were broken in all the places where we have our collections.
Her office is on the 10th floor of the library. The view is impressive. You can see the uptown skyline and every inch of campus, including the Kennedy Building. Also located on the 10th floor is a room that houses the university's rare book collection. The lock to that door was also broken, but Schmitz made sure that that was one of the first to be replaced. Her office door at the time of this interview was still being repaired. As the archival staff continues to process objects, it's easy to become overwhelmed by it all. Not only by the emotions that come with handling these objects, but by the sheer amount of items which are still being counted. Right now, they're trying to figure out what to do with all the boxes and boxes of candles placed on site. Archivist Katie Howell points out that there just isn't enough room to keep it all. Some of the candles have been in the rain, and it's hard to see how they could be stored long term. But other candles will likely be held on to. Peering down into one of the boxes that housed candles and fabric flowers, there was a little flicker. It was one of those battery-powered tea lights. Its battery still switched on, its light still bright. For WFAE News, I'm Sarah D'Elia in Charlotte.